Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
And my thanks to our sponsors and to Radio America, and most importantly to you out there, wherever you might be, talking and listening. And when I say talking, I hope the subjects that we bring to you inspire you to talk about them and to move aggressively toward the solution when it comes to your home, your family, and your finances. Today we're talking about two very important. We're talking about the young, or relatively young, and we're talking about the nanny tax. What is a nanny tax, and who does the? What does it pertain to? What is it all about, and are there dangers? But I'm going to start. We're going to start with millennials, and I'm not limiting just to them, because if you're looking for a job, you're looking for a job whether you're 18 or you're 38 or 40. It doesn't make any difference. You're looking for a job, and one of the things that caught my eye was an article in Kiplinger. Written by David Payne, who is a chief economist at Kiplinger, and he has his article reveals the 15 best states to find a job in 2016. That's worth listening to, isn't it? Yeah, especially if you're out there and you don't have a job and you're looking and you're not really sure where you're going to be and what you're going to be. But let me just lay these on you for just a minute. A recent study analyzed more than 5,500 millennials and their attitudes and capabilities around financial literacy. 24% of the group demonstrated basic financial knowledge. 81% have at least one source of long-term debt. 48% felt they couldn't come up with $2,000 if their life depended on it on a monthly basis. And 67% make only the minimum payment on late payments on their credit cards. That is a snapshot of the world we live in terms of many of those who are looking for jobs. So where do you go? What are you willing to do in order to secure a new job? That's a question I put now to our guest, David Payne. As I said, he's chief economist. He has a long list I could go on about. Trust me, he is well-respected and the person that we should be talking to. David, welcome to Home and Family Finance. Nice to have you with us on the show.
Pleasure to be here.
Some of the statistics are chilling. I have three college grads, two of whom are working and one who is looking for a job. And I think across this country, we both know that this is a major problem, isn't it?
Well, that's right. I have sons who are also trying to figure out their careers, and so this is a major issue.
Yeah, and it is. And so it occurs to me that we ought to, if we can, transmit to these young people and others looking for jobs the best places to find a job. Give us a thumbnail sketch of what you discovered here.
Well, it's easiest to figure out occupations that are skill related in some aspect. So specifically, healthcare and the tech area. Both of those require certain skill sets, and so if the young person is going into one of these fields, the path is fairly well laid out, and then you have a pretty good idea as to what the possibilities are. But that doesn't mean that these are the only fields to go into. There's room for talented young people in all fields. And one of the problems with just talking about this in generalities is that each person's circumstances really determine, what their prospects are. But let's talk a little bit about the skilled areas, because we know those have been in demand.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, healthcare. And of course, it also depends on what type of education level the young person is shooting for, whether it's a master's degree, bachelor's, or associate's degree, or just a certificate. But there are specific jobs in each of those cases that they can shoot for. So, for example, if without any education at all, the areas of home health aides and physical therapist aides have been been growing strongly because there's a need for that.
And is there a particular part of the country where this is more likely there's a much larger need than another part of the country?
Well, I would say that's sort of a separate issue.
Mm-hmm.
I would say definitely where there's more retirees, you're going to have more need for health care specifically. So, for example, states like Florida, Arizona, it's well known that a lot of retirees go to these states. But it's also the case that retirees are starting to go to other states as well. So, for example, Tennessee is starting to build up its retiree population. It's referred to as halfway back. You know, folks go down to Florida, they find that, well, maybe it's too hot during the summers, and so they come halfway back to Tennessee.
Okay.
other areas are like Nevada,
right,
and Utah. And so healthcare in Idaho, and the healthcare demand is growing very strongly in those areas. If the young person wants to shoot up the education ladder a little bit, I'll just mention some. Licensed practical nurse requires mm-hmm. a certificate.
Okay.
A registered nurse requires a bachelor's degree, generally, these days. A nurse practitioner requires a master's degree. And, of course, with all of these occupations, the more education you have, generally, the higher the demand.
So there are a number of issues that go into making the decisions as to where you think you might have your best chance. We're talking with a man who knows all about this, and when we come back, we'll share more with David's thinking in terms of maybe giving you a direction that you might want to go to find that long sought after job. You listen to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And my guest is Kiplinger economist David Payne, who has written an article that we can't possibly cover everything here, but you can certainly go to Kiplinger magazine, and David will tell you where that is to read more about it. It's all about the 15 best states to find a job in 2016. Now, that's a headline. Underneath that is everything like job qualification, your qualifications, location, needs. All of that kind of figures into what you need to know in order to make such a decision, right, David?
That's correct. So some of the other occupations that folks might look into is, of course, there's always a demand for engineers. However, within that field, one might look at the more esoteric specialties such as biomedical or civil or environmental.
Right. Are you suggesting that you should go back to school and get training? Is that part of this? I mean, is that part of the equation that, okay, here's what's out here. I've graduated. Should I go back and get that either master's or doctorate?
I would say that it depends on whether you can get good job experience with the degree that you have currently.
Okay.
If you're not able to, then yes, you definitely need to go back. In a number of these fields, so for example, in the tech area, the typical career path is to get a bachelor's to work and then to get a master's while you're working, so that master's degree becomes what's called the terminal degree, and what's generally expected for somebody that's going to make a career in that field.
Mm-hmm. When do I make the decision here, David? When, you know, I'm looking and I read the magazine in your article, which is in mm-hmm. Kiplinger, and now I've got to... Do I get signed up first? Do I take a chance? You know, when do I make a decision that I'm going to take a risk?
Before graduation or after?
No, let's say I've graduated. Okay. I'm out there right now, hundreds of thousands of these kids are. Got the degree,
right.
Okay, and so they read the article, 15 best states, and to some degree I qualify or I may have to do this, but I've got at some point to make the decision that, okay, I'm leaving my comfort zone. I'm leaving home.
Right.
I'm stepping
right.
out. When do I make that? And I know there are different situations, but how do I attack that?
Well, I guess it's a good idea to investigate, you know, what the options are. Generally within particular career fields, there are certain parts of the country that are hot for that particular career field. So, for example, if your career field is tech, okay, everybody knows about California, mm-hmm. you know, and Silicon Valley. But there are other areas that one could kind of, you know, look at the want ads, you know, from that particular area, perhaps talk to folks in the job market or who are already working in that area. So, for example, in tech again, there's a lot of areas around the country that have specialties. So, for example, Boston, Austin, Texas, Nashville, places in Idaho. All right. All of these areas have tech emphasis, and so there's generally some place around the country that is close, you know, to the average person that can be looked into.
Okay, okay. So, is it your suggestion that, and again, I know that the article is more more informational than it is mm-hmm. instructive, and I understand that. But with us as both, you know, we've been out here for a while. And I've got this 23-year-old or this 25-year-old, and they're saying, "Okay, what's my next step? Should I go? Should I go there, and or should I get signed up first? What do you think?"
It depends. Again, it depends on connections. If you have skills that are in hot demand, then yeah, generally you can just go.
Okay.
If not, then it's good to have some type of connections first, but. You know, I'm not saying don't take a risk. I mean, risk can pay off. So it's a gamble, and more of a gamble in that case.
Yeah. When we come back, as an economist, I'm going to ask David to explain how he feels about where we are here. You know, have we been here before, or are we in a situation that is only going to get worse? I don't know. David Payne is my guest. He's an economist at Kiplinger, and we're talking about the 15 best states to find a job in these United States. We'll be right back. You're listening to Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsors, the Defense Credit Union Council, and CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. We thank them for their continued support of the program dedicated to making all of us smarter consumers, folks. Be a smart consumer. Keep your money in your own pocket, or if it's out of your pocket, make sure it's working for you. My guest is someone who understands that very well. David Payne is an economist with the chief economist with Kiplinger Magazine, and he is revealing some of the 15 best states to find a job in 2016. Is it worth moving there? When do you move? David, you want to talk about geography from the standpoint of what? Making sure you make those connections between the position and the location?
That's right. Before I get into that, let me just mention about the national economy.
Okay.
I will say that we are not going to have a recession, okay?
Okay.
Despite the fears that have been talked about, the economy is still doing well. And so ultimately, one's ability to get a job is really dependent on the national economy, not necessarily where one is, you know, in the country.
Okay.
And so I think folks can take encouragement from that you know, the job market is still doing very well. The unemployment rate has been going down, and that should continue.
Okay, 5.1%, I think, is where we are now. And for young people who are looking for jobs, are you optimistic that they're going to be able to find these jobs, that we're going to create in this economy the kind of jobs that will suffice and take care of our folks?
Absolutely. I think our economy is productive, and it's going to, even though some sectors are having a tough time right now, so the energy sector is laying off folks because of the low price of oil, and the manufacturing sector is having a tough time because of slowing export growth. Our economy is constantly generating new jobs. And so for every layoff notice, there's, you know, dozens of, you know, help wanted notices going up. And where more of those are taking place is in the West and the Southeast parts of the country. There's been a big population movement, migration, you know, from the Northeast and the Midwest to the West and the South.
Mm-hmm.
And so employment growth has really taken off in a number of these places. Obviously, construction employment, you know, has been jumping in those regions. Services. So, you know, low-skill restaurant jobs, you know, have been booming in this country, especially in the South and the West. But higher-skill professional and business services have also been going very strongly in the South and the West. And so, again, as I was saying, a lot of it depends on what your particular specialty area is.
Okay.
One other observation about where the jobs are, looking at, you know, so I went and looked at specific states in the South and the West.
Right.
And I looked at the metro areas, and I said, okay, where's the job growth taking place? And I, almost inevitably, it was always in the largest metro area. Okay. That means that, so for example, in Oregon, okay, Oregon, you know, job growth has been going really strong in Oregon, okay, but it's taking place in Portland. It's not taking place in Eugene, in the other cities.
Right, right. Larger metro areas is where you're likely to see opportunity.
That's correct.
Okay, is that a shift from rural to urban, or is that, I mean, is it cyclical, or is it just what's required today?
I think it's the fact that growth compounds itself, you know, just like money in a savings account. The more there is, the more that it pulls in other folks, mm-hmm. and the more that it pulls in companies, you know, who want to hire.
Right.
And so it all builds on itself. And so places like, you know, so really it's not particular states that's so important. It's metro areas. So Las Vegas, Phoenix, Denver, Portland, Seattle, the Bay Area, Austin, Dallas.
Wow. That is so important.
Tampa.
Okay, now that's what they want. I hear you, and that's what you look for, folks. If you're listening, and you know, first of all, you can find more about the article in Kiplinger magazine, Kiplinger.com. But you hear this. This is, you know, you're not starting over here. He's telling you this is what you got to look for. These are the areas where the growth areas are. If they want more information, how do they reach out to you, David?
Our website is kiplinger.com, and anybody can email me. I'd be glad to respond. My email address is dpayne, D-P-A-Y-N-E, at kiplinger.com.
Folks, I can lead you to the water. Can't make you drink. We've led you to the water here. We've said, here's where you need to be. Here's what's going on. It's up to you now to reach out and send. David's saying, okay, yeah, you can contact me. We'll talk more. David, thanks for being with us. Come back and see us again, would you please?
I will.
Okay, really enjoyed it, and thanks for the heads up. Coming up next, the nanny tax expert. You know, you could get in a lot of trouble if you're playing that game. She'll tell you what the game is and why you don't want to play it. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
Safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
And my guest now is Carrie Slope from Texas, from Austin, Texas. Carrie is with a firm that is, it's called CARE. Let me get that right, Carrie. It's very interesting about this. CARE.com. Home pay. Am I saying it right?
You've got it.
Okay, care.com. So this means that you are a internet-based company. Is that?
We are, yes. So care.com is an online marketplace platform for families and caregivers to connect with each other, mm-hmm. and find employment for if you're a caregiver and working in someone's home. And for a family to find that caregiver when they have someone, a care need in their
okay.
home, whether that's for a nanny or a housekeeper or a senior care.
So this is the new normal. I can come to you and say, here's what I need wherever I am in the country, and you go about the business of helping me. Is that the way it works?
That's correct. So we allow families to post jobs on the site and caregivers to respond to those jobs, and then they take it off the site and interview each other and hopefully find a perfect fit. And then once they do, our home pay division, which I lead up, uh-huh. helps those families manage the complex process of dealing with those pesky nanny taxes.
And I'll bet you folks out there, how many of you knew about about this. I bet you didn't. This is the new normal, folks. This is where we're going. This is the beauty of the internet. This is what happens now that we can't. The real estate here is the net. Not a building, but an idea that has a place to function and can be, and you can go there and find out what you need and get and meet and talk to experts about God knows what. It's just wonderful. Now the reason I was excited about this topic, I live in the Washington, D.C. area, and I'm through with nannies, but we went through that process. And you try to beat the system, you know, a number of ways to save money. You got kids, you got to have somebody taking care of them. And there's such a thing as a nanny tax. We're reaching into the tax season. Don't do something that's going to get you in really trouble. And that's why we asked Kelly to join us to talk about you want to do it the right way. So let's go about this nanny tax thing, and I've heard about it before. I know some folks got in trouble. So explain what the nanny tax pertains to and what it is.
Sure, absolutely. So many families assume that the nanny tax really only relates to someone who has a formal nanny working in their home. However, the nanny tax pertains to any household employee. So that could be a housekeeper or a part-time babysitter or a senior caregiver working in your home. Even a pet sitter is considered a household employee. So that term nanny tax can be very misleading, but it really means any household worker working in your home. And when you hire that caregiver to work in your home, regardless of what the work is that they're performing, if you pay them more than $2,000 in a calendar year, in the eyes of the IRS, you are considered a household employer. And that means you are responsible for managing the tax and payroll process for that individual working in your home.
And is this thing violated all the time? I'm sure it is, isn't it?
While there isn't a ton of data from the IRS in this industry and on this segment, families are increasingly becoming compliant and are becoming aware of their employer tax responsibilities. Just as you mentioned, you used to have a nanny back in the day, it sounds like, and maybe nanny taxes weren't as familiar to you back in the day.
Well, you know what was familiar, and I'm sorry, what was familiar is that every time I went to do my taxes, my tax expert said to me, Paul, what are you doing here? Are we going to report the lady that's working in your home or the people that are working there? And I'd say, do we have to?
Right. And actually, that's not uncommon. Most accountants aren't familiar with this nuanced segment of tax law. We actually work with thousands of accountants at Care.com HomePay as partners across the country who refer their families to us because they aren't as familiar with all the nuances and complexities of the process. And so many families feel like, you know, I have a part-time babysitter. Maybe she comes once a week on Fridays for date night. And that $2,000 threshold that the IRS has put out there for this segment is a fairly low. That's $38.50 a week. So it's easy to add up and cross that threshold requiring a family to pay taxes. So the IRS actually reported, so they're a few years behind in their statistics, but they reported in 2013 that there were a little over 200,000 Schedule H forms filed, which is the form a family files with their personal income tax return to report their caregiver. And we know that there are far more than just
200,000 against the millions of people. Absolutely. So people are violating this. Obviously. Yes. And if they are, what can happen here? I don't want to scare anybody, but you know what? I want people at the forefront. You ought to know,
price is. And the thing is most household employers aren't knowingly a lot of times ignoring their obligations by not paying legally. There is a lot of misunderstanding and a lack of awareness, in this space, but there are penalties, for not filing correctly and not paying those nanny taxes. And it depends on the amount of wages you paid to the caregiver, but generally speaking, it can include back taxes and penalties and a percentage of the taxes that were owed in the first place. So that penalty can get up to roughly $25,000. But as I mentioned, that's where companies like Care.com HomePay come in, and we can really help answer all of those questions, remove any misconceptions about the cost, and ultimately manage the process for a family so they don't have to worry about that.
Let me ask the ultimate question here, okay? Can you go to jail?
You can. It's not, I'll be honest, it's not common. It's not likely. But there are a few ways that a family can be caught by the IRS. And the most common scenario is when that caregiver is done working with you. Maybe your child goes into preschool or into kindergarten and you no longer need a caregiver at home. And so you discontinue the relationship, and then that caregiver isn't able to find a job and she files for unemployment. That's the most common scenario where a family is going to get caught. And no, in most cases, the fine isn't going to be $25,000 and you aren't going to go to jail, but you are going to be stuck with some rather hefty penalties and back taxes to pay. And if you are in a profession such as a lawyer or accountant with a professional license, you do risk losing that license.
Don't do it, folks, is what Kerry is saying. When we come back, we'll talk about tax breaks. We'll talk about some other things that you need to know about this and how to file correctly. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
Oh, yeah, we're talking with Kerry here about Kerry Swope, who is a senior director at Care.com HomePay. This is a website location, internet that you can go to if you're looking for home care, looking for child care, looking for domestic work. They do all of this, and they know the rules, they understand it, and they can be helpful to you if you find yourself in need of someone to help you with the kids or whatever. Kerry, you mentioned some tax breaks and benefits. Expand on what these include, would you please?
Many people, they automatically assume that paying nanny taxes is going to be a very costly process for them. But what they don't realize is that there are tax credits that can significantly offset the cost of those taxes that they're having to pay on the caregiver. And there's two main benefits to paying compliantly and paying in those nanny taxes. So the first is called a dependent care account. It's also known as a flexible spending account. And most businesses allow their employees to contribute up to $5,000 of their pre-tax earnings to that account to help pay for child care or dependent care expenses. Uh-huh. So what that means is, for example, I can set aside $5,000 of my income before it's taxed. So there's no federal tax, there's no state income tax, there's no Social Security and Medicare on that $5,000. And so I'm allowed to set aside that money to pay for care expenses. And depending on the individual's tax bracket, that deduction can save a family anywhere from $2,100 to $2,300 per year, which, as I mentioned, oftentimes will offset, if not even exceed, the employer's tax liability.
Okay, so go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, not every business has a dependent care account for their employees to take advantage of. So if your employer doesn't offer that to you as a benefit, the other alternative is something called a child independent care tax credit. And you take advantage of that when you're filing your personal income tax return at the end of the year, which many families at this time of year are doing. And that tax credit allows you to save $600 if you have one dependent or $1,200 if you have two or more in your home.
So if I contact HomePay, contact you or someone in your office, this is going to be explained to me. You're going to talk now. At what cost? What am I paying for your wonderful, brilliant service here?
Well, we offer free consultations to anyone who has questions about the process. It's part of our culture and how we've built our business practice and what we believe in order to educate the industry and families. We've been in their shoes. That's why we exist.
But at some level, you got to make some money out of this deal. So
We do. So we answer, if a family has questions, we offer a free consultation. And then if they would like for us to handle the tax and payroll process for them, the service is on a quarterly basis. We charge our fees on a quarterly basis, so it's not an upfront annual fee, but on an annual basis, it's about $1,000 a year to handle this process. And the IRS estimates that it takes a family anywhere from 55 to 65 hours a year to manage the process, and that's just the tax process, not the payroll process.
Is that $1,000 deductible?
It is, yes. It is deductible on your personal income tax return. Just as your accountant fees might be.
So what do families need to know from your perspective before the April 15 deadline? Let's see, somebody's listening to this and, you know, you know, they're kind of saying, what do they need to know here?
Exactly. So what a family wants to be thinking of right now before they file those taxes on April 15th is, have they paid a household employee more than $1,900 last year? So that is one change that has happened from 2015 to 2016, is the IRS has increased that payroll threshold from $1,900 to $2,000 in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
But for the 2015 tax year, if they paid someone working in their home more than $1,900, they are required by the IRS to pay those nanny taxes.
So it does
require some work, but they can make sure to file that and be in compliance.
So if they've been paying under the table, so to speak, they can make things right?
Absolutely. As I mentioned, it takes some work, but you can certainly get caught up. And the first step is to review how much you paid that caregiver, and then based on those wages, determine what the appropriate taxes are for that. And a family pays employer taxes, and then that caregiver is also responsible for taxes just like you and I are.
Mm-hmm. What's the trend here, Carrie, from the perspective that you guys see? Are people more likely, I guess not, with only 200,000 of these forms filed, and there are millions of people out there, so the fact of the matter is millions of people are violating this, right?
There are definitely people who are paying under the table, but as I mentioned, most families are not doing it intentionally. They just don't realize that the threshold for meeting what the IRS determines as a household employer is so low, and a lot of times they don't understand what to do. One of the big common misconceptions is that they can treat that caregiver as an independent contractor rather than a W-2 employee, which is incorrect. And actually, in July of last year, the Department of Labor reinforced those guidelines to try to help bring more awareness to the industry on what constitutes an employee mm-hmm. versus an independent contractor.
And again, I'm not trying to scare anybody into doing the right thing. You ought to be doing the right thing because you should be doing the right thing. But is the government cracking down? What's been your experience here in terms of what the IRS is doing about this? Are they taking a closer look, I guess, is my question.
They are, yes. That's part of why the Department of Labor last year in July issued those guidelines to reinforce. So the IRS and the Department of Labor do team up to review industries that are prone to worker misclassification, such as the construction industry as well as the care industry. And so they are looking at that. That's the care industry is one of those spaces, and there are even at the state level initiatives that we're seeing on a state-by-state basis where states are reinforcing education as well as compliance. For example, there is a movement across multiple states regarding a domestic worker bill of rights, and there's been 5 states so far that have passed domestic worker bill of rights to make sure that these caregivers are being paid minimum wage, that they overtime is being paid to them, and that sort of thing.
I hear you, audience, asking, okay, how do I reach out to this lady? Well, when we come back, I'll tell you how you can reach out to Carrie, Senior Director at care.com home pay. We'll talk about, getting to her and a couple other things, notable changes that apply to families that already have or will potentially hire a household employee. All of that coming up next here on Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Bear. Listening to Home and Family Finance, I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we are very pleased to have with us still as we talk about the nanny tax and other things that you as a family, as a household, head of household, or a taxpayer should know. Carrie Swope is my guest, her company. She is Senior Director at care.com home pay. This is such a great idea. To be able to reach out to folks and say, okay, look, let's stop playing games. Here's what you need to know. But even more so, we can help you. You know, it's just not a matter. The IRS says, okay, you got to do this. But your company says, you got to do this, and we'll tell you how to do it. Right, Carrie?
Exactly right, Paul.
Okay, that's great. How long have you been in business, and how do people reach out to you, and what do they need to do?
We have been in business since 1992, and were built by household employers who were experiencing the exact same pain points your listeners are experiencing today. So that's why we are in existence, and so we're here to help families. We do offer free consultations to families and caregivers to help educate them about what they need to do when they hire someone to work in their home or how to comply. And we also offer free resources on our website at care.com/nannycalculator. Which is a free nanny calculator for families to easily determine what those nanny taxes are going to cost them, help mm-hmm. them budget for 2016 tax year, and estimate what they might owe for back taxes if they need to get caught up for 2015.
Folks, these calculators are wonderful. It means that instead of having to get somebody else to come in and do it, or you do it, you're figuring these things yourself, you go to their calculator at their site, put your information in, and it tells you exactly where you need to be and what you should be doing. And that brings me to notable changes that apply to families that already have or will potentially hire a household employee. Any notable changes at this point?
Yes. As I mentioned earlier, that threshold for wages
yes.
has increased for 2016 to $2,000. So, again, that's roughly $38.50 a week. So it adds up pretty quickly. But other state and city-specific changes have also occurred, increases to minimum wage, paid sick leave, have occurred for this year, and we have on the website as well at care.com homepage a state-by-state guide that easily outlines all the necessary requirements for families and the changes that have occurred for this year.
And folks, as again, just so that we are all on the same page, this service is not free, at least not if you get into what really needs to be handled for your family and for you, and it could cost you somewhere between $500 to $1,000 per year. That fee is tax deductible. So, you know, if you are sitting there worrying about, am I in violation of the law, and could I pay a much worse price than that, then I think you will want to reach out to Carrie and the folks at her company, because it's all about really making life easier and more simple for you. What do you see in the future here, Carrie, in terms of what people are doing? You think you're going to see more and more people rushing to do the right thing, or will we still hang out and try to get away with not paying our fair share?
You know, there will always be people who are paying under the table, but with the initiatives that the federal and the state governments are doing, like the Domestic Workers Bill of Rights movement and the Department of Labor's update on worker guidelines, I do think more people will start to comply as the awareness increases in this space.
And the other thing you must know, folks, that if you're filing taxes and you have a pretty substantial income, and you say I've got 3-4 kids or whatever the numbers are, you know, maybe the tax folks are not geniuses, but they're not dumb. They're thinking, well, okay, this person might have somebody there. And what I'm saying is that the dreaded audit can be instigated by not having this in good order, right?
That's correct, and we can actually help families through that audit process if it happens.
Yeah, if it happens, you don't want that to happen. I don't think of anything more painful than having this nice young lady come sit in your house looking very innocent and asking you questions that you don't want to answer, checking out what you've got. Carrie,
yes,
that's
usually something most people want to avoid.
That's exactly right, Carrie. Thank you. We didn't want to avoid this because we hear you. Care.com, and we appreciate you taking time to join us here on Home and Family Finance. Come back and see us again soon, would you please?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, folks. So you know where you got to go if you're interested in working with this organization. It's all about making a difference. Care.com, home pay. It can make your life a lot easier, a lot more simple, especially if you know you ought to be paying those taxes. Look, there are so many things that we want to talk to you about, and we'll do that again next week. Unfortunately, run out of time at this point, but your home, your family, and your finances. Be financially fit. Be ready. I'll be back same time, same place looking for you. Will you be here? I thought you would. Okay, we'll see you then. Have a good day.